One. Hi, ladies and gentlemen, you are watching and listening to Sipping Off the Cuff on Tequila Aficionado Media, all of our channels and networks. I'm Mike Morales here in soggy Southern California. That young lady is
Araceli Costilla Sharp in San Antonio, Texas, where today it is cold.
Yes, it's freezing. It's below freezing. Yes.
Well, it's 32 right now. So well, is it 32 and holding.
34 or 36? I don't know. I failed. I never even took it. I don't even care. I know that 32 is freaking cold.
It's cold. Yeah. Especially for San Antonio.
Yes, for San Antonio. Well, for anywhere, it's cold. I mean, you know, San Antonio's it's got the river walk, so you get a lot more moisture down there. And it's like, if it were that cold in San Diego, your joints would start to hurt. It was that bad. I know, because I lived in San Diego during a really cold spell. Mm-hmm. And if you live, you know, if you have any old football injuries or something, and you live near the ocean where it's cold and damp, all your old football injuries start
coming out. Wow,
I haven't had that shoulder hurt in I don't know how long, you know. Yeah. So today, folks, we're gonna dissect Querendon, Tequila Querendon. We fell all over ourselves with the Blanco. Now take a look at this Reposado. The bottle is hand blown, and I believe it is recycled glass. They're not telling us, but it really looks that way. And Araceli, in the light, you can see some small bubbles of the glass.
Yes.
So
on this one, yes, you can see it.
Yeah, and this is not. I don't know if you got one, but this is not a slouch. It's got a little seal there from the San Francisco World Spirits competition. So it won I guess this is silver. Really?
That's what it says.
Okay. I'm surprised, because that Blanco is so good that it's hard for me to believe that there was anything better, but you know, it's San Francisco. So yeah, you know, I have my druthers about, that's why I like what we do at the Brands of Promise. Cause we have one way of doing it, and we both have to like it, cause it, you know, if one of us likes it and the other one doesn't, at least we go on record that way. But the juice is dark. Mm-hmm. And the bubbles are still there. So I just broke the seal off of mine. We're going to pour this. I'm going to pour mine in a Glencairn. I was a little apprehensive, because I thought that it looked really dark. And I wanted to, it might have like, lately we've seen,
it popped. Did it pop?
Yeah, it did. It popped. But lately we've seen a lot of Reposados that are being aged a little bit longer, or they're being you know, they've got more of an añejo quality, because right now there's an añejo shortage.
Yes.
Whether you folks know it or not, we not only have an agave shortage, now there's an añejo shortage. Thank you, pandemic. So I'm gonna
I'm gonna use the Jarito.
Okay,
yeah, for comparison.
Tequila. Okay, so here we go. Oh, not as dark as it looks on the bottom. Oh, but look at lingering bubbles on the pour. So it looks much darker.
Definitely lighter.
Yeah, almost looks like pale gold.
A straw.
I could go straw too. Straw is even lighter than pale gold. I mean, oh, look at those legs. Wow.
It's good.
Nice. It's got the same thick.
It's a coat.
Yeah. Well, and now that this is, you know, spent some time in a barrel, you're going to get a little bit more, the barrel is helping it do more clinging to the glass. You know, you're going to get that extra oiliness coming from the barrel. Oh my goodness. Mushrooms and cheese and I love it. This is a now we get, if you watch the Blanco review, the tequila is being produced at Tres Mujeres, surprisingly for me, because I did not get the familiar stamp from the Tres Mujeres distillery that I'm used to. It's been a while since I've had any from that distillery, but it has some distilleries have a certain stamp and flavor or nose. Yeah. Like, you know, when you have a Jose Cuervo, you know, when you have something like Cofradía.
Mm-hmm.
Cofradía has a certain nose and stamp that's just there. You know it. But Tres Mujeres, this is completely unexpected. Beautiful legs and tears. It's really pretty to look at. Wow.
That's sweet.
It's sweet. I'm getting more barrel notes.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, I think, where the sweetness is coming from. But it's almost like a, you know, that melon that we got in that Blanco where it says it was as the Blanco opened up.
Yeah.
We had at the beginning of the pour, we said, well, it's kind of minty. And then the mint kind of converted into from mint to melon as the pour got smaller and smaller. And if you read the notes, it says like honeydew. So I'll buy that. But it was, now I'm getting more of the melon.
Yeah, up front.
Up front.
That sweetness.
That is delightful.
You know, because normally when you have a sweetness in a Reposado, it's like a vanilla or a caramel.
Right.
But this is not.
No, it's fruity.
Yeah, it's fruity.
And it could be, you know, I know that on the nose, I got like something malolactic, or, you know, you got the mushroom and the cheese just on the top nose. And that's a lot of it has to do with the fermentation. Now, yeah. they have proprietary yeast that they do when they ferment. And they're using 7-year agave, which that says a lot. Right there.
Oh, it's opening more. I've got more agave on that pass.
Oh, did you? Okay.
Than I had before, yeah.
Yeah, the melon is kind of dissipating now.
Mm-hmm.
And you're getting more of the, now it smells more like the Blanco, right?
Yeah.
It almost smells earthier.
Mm-hmm.
I'm getting more like, you know, more of the terroir, the more of the earth.
Yeah.
This is really complex. We're getting a lot on the nose, just on the nose.
Yeah, because it opens up with the sweetness, but now, like, you know, I say more agave, but yes, more earthiness. I guess for me, that's when in my mind, I'm thinking agave is more earthiness, more of that, the terroir, I guess.
Right. More plant.
Yes, more plant.
More plant. That is really delightful. That center part of the glass, it just gives you that fruitiness.
Yeah. Which is, like I said, different for a Reposado. You get more vanilla, caramel, you know. Yeah.
Well, even
cinnamon.
Well, even Repos and Añejos that right now the big thing is they're, you know, aging it or they're double barreling it in the wine barrels. And sometimes you'll get a little bit of that wine fruit that comes through, but this isn't it.
No,
this is no. There's no. I have to read the notes here in a second, but this is delightful.
Yeah.
Just nosing it, just really pleasant. Unexpected in the Repo. You're right.
Yeah,
you think you would get more of the like you said, the barrel notes and the whiskey sweetness notes that you're used to getting, and that's. We're not getting it. You want to dive in?
Yeah.
Let's go. Let's do it. Oh, my. There's a certain spiciness.
Yeah. More so than in the Blanco.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not, it doesn't border on like hot cinnamon or hot pepper.
No.
It's a, I don't know what this is. But it's not,
it's
you know.
Spice.
Yeah, it's spice, but it's not like, I don't know, would you call this baking spice?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if I would go there because it's a lot lighter than the, you know, it doesn't have the depth of a baking spice like you get some Añejos and Reposados. I gotta find out what kind what kind of barrel they're using.
Definitely not a cinnamon spice though. I have this on there. Does it say on here?
I don't know. I'm kind of interested to see what sort of barrel they're using. And I don't know if they'll give us that information on the POS that we got.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's why. Really? French oak for a period of 6 months. But it doesn't smell like French oak.
It does not. It doesn't. I would have expected a more, like I said, vanilla type.
Okay, you ready for their official notes? And I'm not sure if I, sometimes I read these official notes and I go,
I don't agree.
What?
Yeah.
Come on. Aromas and flavors of raisin compote. I wouldn't go raisin. I would go maybe prune or plum. Okay. Plum. Like a dried plum.
Yeah.
But it's even lighter than dried plums because dried plums have a depth to it. This is almost like a stone fruit, you know, like fresh fruit as opposed to dried fruit.
I wouldn't say dried fruit.
It'd me neither. Fresh.
It's brighter. Yeah. This one's brighter.
Yeah. Lightly tannic. Yeah, maybe. Crisp, medium body, peppery with hints of sweet potato. Oh, okay.
Oh.
Now, cantaloupe. Now, see, the honeydew converted to a cantaloupe.
Cantaloupe.
I get it. I get it. Yeah, because we said it was fruity on the nose, which is really unusual. Now, French oak? I don't know.
Yeah.
You know, because you tell me, every time I do a taste something with a French oak, it either leans toward the real sweet side, or if it's a used French oak barrel, you get more of the cocoa, and depending on how old the barrel is, you get like tobacco, you get chocolate, you know, you get more of the barrel notes, and there really aren't any in this.
No. It,
there's nothing that says to me, I would have said bourbon. I would have said it was a bourbon barrel, right?
Yeah, because on the French oak, like I said, you get that over, like you said, a little more sweetness of like vanilla and caramel if it's, you know, up front French oak. And then if it's a charred barrel, you get different flavors. And of course, if it's older, you get that, like, kind of like you said, more distinct, stronger, like cocoa and tobacco. Yeah. But this is not any of those. It's like a fruity. But it's just like a... It's very interesting. Maybe because they started with the Blanco that was, you know, had that honeydew.
Well, yeah. And, you know, it's a seven year plant.
Yeah.
Sweetness. You're using proprietary yeast. So you got those things going. Plus you got, chances are the water they're using is underground volcanic spring water. I don't know. It doesn't say, but generally this is from a Matitan. So it's coming from an area that I'm very
familiar with,
close to my heart and familiar with, but this does, I would never have guessed. And look at how light it is too, because
for 6 months, it was 6 months, right?
Yeah Because French oak will definitely leave a much darker color on your juice, at least in my experience. I've never seen French oak leave only this much.
It's interesting.
And had they said French oak, I would have guessed this was a 3 month reposado instead of a six.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. So definitely with the lightness, I wouldn't have expected 6 months.
No, me neither. I would have said, so the only thing that we can surmise, you know, detect, because we're deducing from all these clues, is that this is a really beat up French oak barrel.
That's possible. Yes.
Right? I mean, it would have to be, because obviously, you're using seven-year-old agave. You want that agave to shine. You don't want it to get lost in, because you're taking an awful chance when you put a great Blanco in a French oak barrel, because it's going to taste like anything.
Yeah.
But, you know, what the Blanco tasted like.
That could be it. It's a bit, very beat up. because it's not overwhelmingly for French oak. Like you said, it's not overwhelmingly color, obviously the color of it. And the flavors are not like overwhelming, which you would get
from
French oak.
Yeah. I mean, usually if you tell people it's aged French oak, oh, I want it because it's sweet, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know? And then you go here and you go, Man, I was like, that can't be French oak. That's not like any French oak I've ever had. So if you're an oak head and you're looking for French oak, you may be disappointed in this. Yeah. For those of us who know what we're looking and talking about, you're going to love this. This is really a surprise. Yes. It's a surprise. Wow.
Yeah, such definitely. Yeah. And, you know, I've told you before, like, it was so hard for me to get into the añejos and the reposados because sometimes they were overly sweet for me. So I've learned to appreciate now the different processes and the different barrels and the different agings, and I know what I like.
And that's why she's a catadora, ladies and gentlemen. That's why she's one of our TJs, because she knows what she likes. I love it. Wow. So what did you say the pricing was on this?
I want to say it was 60, like 62, somewhere around there.
But it's worth it. See, that to me is more in line with what should be. I think we discussed this on the Blanco review. If you haven't seen it, go check it out on our YouTube channel. But the Blanco review, I was surprised that the Blanco was as inexpensive as it as you recall the price being. Mm-hmm. Because here in California, we're seeing Blancos with not as much character as this coming in at close to 50, 51, 52. And you know what? Nobody's going to argue with the quality of that kind of juice to up it another $20. But you know, it's Texas, it's a whole other country, folks. It really is.
We are a whole nother country, apparently.
Yeah. But this nose is delightful.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness.
It's that sweetness. It's I'm gonna have to hide sweetness, this sweetness, but not overly sweet. And it gives more complexity every time you go back into it. You know,
like the more it opens up, it really does. I think it opens up much, much easier now than the Blanco did. The Blanco really took a while for it to do something. Oh, you know what? What's
2017?
Yeah, I've only had one pass. I've only had one. I know you've had a couple swallows. I only had one. So I don't know what I haven't even looked at. I haven't sensed the finish yet.
Oh.
But I'm thinking it's a little bit longer. Due to the barrel, I think we're getting a little bit longer finish than we did on the Blanco.
Yes. It's still short, though, to me. It wasn't still short. Yeah, it was not a long.
This is a real beat up old French oak barrel, man. That's what this is. That's the oldest French oak barrel I've ever seen. I want it.
You know? I want it. It gives a character.
Oh, my. Now, that's not to say that at mid palate, the sweetness doesn't overtake you at the beginning. Right. But at the middle of the tongue, that's where you start to get where you're thinking it's sweeter. And you go, oh, so that is the French oak. But at first blush, the first whiff, the first swallow, the first couple swallows, that's not like any. And I'm still not getting like dark chocolate. It's more like I'm really getting sweeter notes, like more like whiskey, you know? So it's hard for me to believe that this is a French oak barrel, man. I don't know.
Yeah. It does have more kind of like the dried fruit now, though, not as bright as the Blanco. So a little bit more dried fruit on that end.
Now, the more it opens up, this is still my first pour. I'm getting, it reminds me a little bit of G4. It's got a little bit of G4 pasote, kind of a nose on it. But just fleeting, you know, because G4, as far to my knowledge, G4 doesn't use French oak, but he uses beat up barrels. That's Felipe Camarena.
Yeah.
Who is the mad genius of tequila. And I have met and just talked with him briefly a couple years ago. He did an event for us in Southern California when we were touring. And what a fascinating guy. I mean, you know, if you speak the language and you had a chance to discuss it with him, and I got a chance to talk to him before the show started, because after the show, people were lined up around the block to have him sign bottles. And it was like trying to get kiss the ring of the Pope, you know, that kind of, it's like trying to get confession with the Archbishop. Impossible. Yeah. You know, you're standing in line, you're never going to say hi, you're never going to get it. But, you know, to his credit, he stayed there and said hi to everybody. You know, some people came back through the line two or three times. It was weird. It was strange.
I don't know why you're calling me out like that. That was mean.
Well, was that you?
That was me. I've actually not had the opportunity to meet him. I would love to meet him.
Fascinating guy. Fascinating.
Yeah.
And he's a numbers guy. You know, he's an ingeniero. He's a scientist. He doesn't have he's very shy. He doesn't have the charisma that his brother does. Carlos just
commands. Yeah, totally different.
Carlos walks in and his personality walks in before he does. And you can smell it too, because he's a chain smoker. You can see the smoke coming in before. Oh, Carlos must be here.
Yeah.
But now to his credit, he's got it under control.
Yeah. I've never met Felipe, but he's very sweet, very sweet man, because, obviously, I've been around tequila for like the last 25 years and like in, the Facebook, social media before we talked about before influencing was a thing. And so, I had posted something about the G4 Blanco. It's like very special to me. It reminds me of my dad. And he actually private messaged me and was like, just very sweet about it. And I was like, wow, like the fact that he, took the time to kind of just comment on that. Yeah.
Yeah.
I was like, wow.
I think Alan has, his son Alan is pretty well connected. And I think Alan has a lot to do with that. Trying to bring his dad into the 21st century. Because dad's stuck in his own world, man.
Exactly.
And that's why I would love to know from this guy who their master distiller is.
He mentions him.
Does he mention him? Or did he tell you when you
met him? He mentioned him at one point. I can't remember where. He may have told me. Let's see if I can find it.
Yeah, if you don't know the backstory about we actually came across this tequila because of Araceli. She ran into the owner of the brand during a show up in Austin, right?
Yes, the Austin Tequila Fest, which happens every November. I think now it's been 10 years, so.
They've been there. That was the one show I never got around to going to because it's Austin. I mean, you got to plan a lunch sadly, there's no train that will take you from San Antonio to Austin yet.
Not.
And I don't know, when I lived in Albuquerque, there's a train that will take you to Santa Fe. Directly. It's called the Rail Runner. and it's cool. So, so anybody who works in Santa Fe, or especially if you're in the movies, because there's a Netflix owns a studio out that area that used to be it used to be where they had all the stores, where you could go shopping
and
stores. Mm-hmm. Well, they abandoned it and then Netflix bought it. So it's now a big Netflix studio. And you could take the train to go to Santa Fe. So if you have any business up that way or whatever, or if you live up that way, but they don't have one from San Antonio to Austin, which would be awesome. Because if you take the freeway, you take the 35, especially as cold as look what happened last year on the 35.
Yeah.
All that, the roads froze. There was accidents everywhere. It was horrible.
I think next year though, I might just do like a tequila train, hire a bus to take a bunch of me and my friends.
Hey, you know what? I'll go. Cause it's the one show I missed, I did. I did a couple of tequila restaurant shows, I still get information from the Texas Restaurant Association. We did a couple of shows with them. I would love to go back and do those because that's a big industry show. They alternate from from Houston and Dallas. And I think I did the one in Dallas, but they had one. The first one we went to was in Austin. It's the one show that I haven't gotten around to yet. And so, if you put the train up there, I'll take the private jet, and meet you at Austin Bergstrom. Isn't that the name of the record? Yeah.
The Tequila Aficionado private jet.
Private jet. How can you tell? Because it's black. And it says Tequila Aficionado on the side of the plane.
Yes, exactly.
This is beautiful. I'm just going to go ahead and do this. Brand of Promise nominee in this Reposado category. It's outstanding, folks. If you've had it, if you're watching us in San Antonio, anywhere in Texas, Araceli, you saw this. at Alamo Liquors.
Yes, Alamo correct? City Liquors. Yes,
Alamo City Liquors is the liquor store in San Antonio. It's large. It's huge.
Yeah,
I think they have a branch at the Riverwalk too, don't they?
Or they have a few now. They actually have quite a few. That I know of, they have about five.
There's one on the Riverwalk, if I'm not mistaken.
There might be. I haven't been to that one. I've been to the one close to downtown.
Right.
It's not on the Riverwalk, but that one. And then I've been to three other satellite locations.
Oh, look at you. She has her own parking spot. It's just reserved for Araceli Castilla Sharp.
That's possible.
That's amazing. That is outstanding. I hope to have Mr. Coffee. Mr. Coffee. Wow.
Yeah, I know.
Wait a minute. His name is Joshua Coffee is the owner of the brand. And we're going to do two more of his tequilas here shortly. But amazing. And of course, they claim, for those of you that give a darn, on the side of this, it says zero additives, mm-hmm. Which, you know, I don't have a problem with it. I want it, if it's done, I want it to be done right, not mm-hmm. overdone, trying to like hide something. But this is amazing stuff. It is oven baked. They're using, now this one has 5-year agave. Oh, okay. So this is only a 5-year. They have a 5-year agave with this much character. I thought they started with the 7-year Blanco, but apparently
I did too.
Apparently not. It says so right here, 5-year agave. So they're using a Blanco with 5 years specifically to age this in a beat up French oak barrel. They really took
that's smart.
That takes guts.
Yeah.
Because
kind of smart too, because you're not taking another 2 years because it's going to be aged anyway. You know, it's going to change some complexities to it.
Well, yeah, but it's only aged 6 months.
Oh, that's true.
Again, I don't know what, there's somebody there with barrel management that's a fiend. Because it takes, yeah. You have to be a gambler to begin with to start playing around with certain Blancos mm-hmm. and certain barrels. Being an agavero is one thing, and then being a distiller is another thing, and then being the guy who manages the barrels is a whole other story.
So my bottle said 2017. Is that what yours said?
Let me see.
Because the Blanco was 2015.
Right. And that could be it too, because in 2017 or 2015, you could still afford to sit there on 2 more years in the agave, right? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Because we weren't in that.
Yeah.
In fact,
we weren't in the shortage yet.
The shortage started in 2017. I think we had that documented on, that's when the snowstorm happened in 2017, and then everything else went to hell. 2017.
So yeah.
So that makes sense. That makes sense that they. Mm-hmm. If you know your history, you realize that in 2015 there was plenty of agave to go around to age it, to let it sit in the ground for a couple of years.
Exactly.
But once that frost, that freeze happened and that snowstorm happened, people lost some agave. Wouldn't surprise me if they lost a few plants and they said, if we don't harvest this now, we're gonna lose it. Mm-hmm. So
that's possible, yeah.
Yeah, that's possible. Again, we deduce this, we have no idea, but for those of us who have been around long enough, we kind of follow the breadcrumb trail. We'll come to a conclusion, and exactly. It may or may not be right, but what the hell. Yeah. But anyway, that's our take on Querendon Reposado in French oak. Again, it is from a Matitán, amazing juice. I hope to have Mr. Coffee available to us to do a little open bar where we can find out why. I got to find out why.
Always the whys. Like, what were you doing when you thought this up? What were you thinking?
Yeah. What were you thinking? Because, exactly. This is a crapshoot. Of course, some distilled liquors are more of a sure bet. But mm-hmm. when it comes to agave, it's a crapshoot. I'm sorry. This could go south in 1 year. You get one snowstorm and it changes the face of the industry. Mm-hmm. So here we are. But that's our take. I'm Mike Morales here in Southern California. That young lady is
Araceli Costilla Sharp.
You have been watching and listening to Sipping Off the Cuff on Tequila Aficionado Media on all of our channels and networks. Please subscribe. You're watching us on YouTube or listening to us on the podcast. Follow us on Instagram. You can follow us. Araceli, what's your handle on Instagram?
I am at Texas Tequila Brat on Instagram.
Yeah, you guys can figure that out, right? Okay. But whatever you do, tomar sabiamente.
Sip wisely.